Alright, so yeah, I am Joby. I sing some parts and I play guitar and did sampling, recorded most of the record.
I'm Jason. I did the keyboards, I did the noise, I helped a little bit on the production end of things, and I screamed.
My name is Dan. I play a guitar. Next.
My name is Devin. I play bass and do the bitch screams.
I'm Shep. I mostly just play drums and obsessively compulsively by Jovi's side and mix the CD with him.
Over and over again. The best thing is like yesterday, sitting in here with Jason, or the day before, and it's like 10 minutes to 10, and I looked at my clock and I'm like, fucking Shep hasn't called me yet. You know, like, cause he calls me every single day, like during the whole process, like, what the fuck, you know?
He was J-O-ing to one of your pictures in the back.
I bet, dude. It got to that point. It was starting to get frightening.
Jesus.
So, anyway, we're just going to kind of talk about the songs, I guess, a little bit. So, first song is I'm a Mountain.
Mountain.
Anybody got anything to say about I'm a Mountain?
It rocks.
That was one of the first tracks that we put together. It was the first track that I ever put any keyboard parts on, and I was extremely frightened to do it because I was just way out of my territory with this band, as far as, because I've been in a studio by myself for the past 9 years. That's all I've done. Every band that I've ever been in beforehand were either very short-lived or very laughable. So this has been a very educational experience for me.
He was in docking. He was in
docking. I was in a band called Devil Cock for about 2 days. And I actually had thought the other day that I should make Devil Cock t-shirts.
You should.
To just put the neon coat on that one.
Just like a big red cock with horns. Angry.
You got it. Custom.
Basically, the idea of the song was like, this whole EP, all these songs are kind of one big experiment as trying to just make a rock record, not trying to be Scene Kids or anything like that. It's just trying to make a rock record. So in that vein, I can't remember exactly what I was reading or something.
The whole Jimi Hendrix thing.
Somebody was talking about, Bill Hicks. Bill Hicks, I got a Bill Hicks CD from my friend Jim Cherry. And he was talking on that CD about how nobody has balls in rock and roll anymore. And like, you know, how Jimi Hendrix, you know, said on that song, you know, I stand up next to a mountain and chop it down on the edge of my hand. And I just thought that that was badass. So, like, I wanted to write a song about being badass. Just rock and roll. Not that I'm a badass, but, like, just, it's fucking rock and roll, man. You know, I am the mountain. It's just badass, I guess.
Just trying to say some sort of heavy-handed statement.
Yeah,
I didn't know that either. Actually,
I mean, it's all Jimi Hendrix's fault.
You do have very heavy hands, by the way.
Yeah, I probably could chop down a sandcastle.
I would say, yeah,
Mario fingers.
Shit, yes.
I would say, if I only had four,
yeah, that'd be awesome.
I would say banana hands, but.
Banana hands. All right, so yep, I think that's about enough about that one. So anyway, this is I'm the Mountain.
Still
This is Come On Come All. And basically, it's not a carnival song, but, you know, it's got that whole mentality, but not really. But, yeah, it's Come On Come All. It's got a little bit of, you know, some kind of hip-hop feeling to it. Some
corn dogs.
Elephant ears and corn dogs and big circus tents.
And mayonnaise.
And mayonnaise.
Yeah, lots of mayonnaise.
But it's
what kind of carnival you've been going?
That's a dirty carnival.
I should just props Breyers on this one, because there's a total Breyers ripoff. So.
Well, most of these.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sure there is like 100, but...
Are you aware that your glasses say men red?
They no, say what?
They say Menards.
Men red.
They say men red.
Men red.
I got these glasses from Menards.
Did you save big money?
But men are red.
Like, especially when they're like excited and blushing.
Yeah. That's great.
All right.
But yeah, just the it's kind of a nod to Sleet, which is one of definitely mine and Dan's favorite bands. The bridge is my favorite part of the whole song.
This track went through like a ton of transformations. I mean,
yeah, for sure.
We kept on changing. Yeah, we I think we worked the hardest on this one, just because you know every single time we settled on a part, we just rewrote it.
You're not joking. This
pain in the ass.
Yeah, it was to write.
The drums were a bitch because I suck at keeping time. And
you might as well talk about the drums too, like in the studio, like.
Oh yeah.
Shep had to play for like an hour and a
you mean
half.
Brett Michaels.
Yeah. Brett Michaels.
Yeah, that whole story is, you know, Mark Laramie, which recorded the drums up at Broadside Studio. You know, I was ready. I was pumped to record the tracks. And he was like, all right. Pretty much had me sound checked like an hour and a half, which I was already, like, man sweating all over. My shirt was already soaked. And I was pretty much ready to be like, all right, am I done yet or what?
Yeah.
So, you know, I started recording the tracks, and I mean, it didn't take me too long, but just the timing of the song is kind of a repetitive drum beat, especially for the chorus and the bridge. I'm pretty much playing the same thing, but I guess it gets the point across of what we're trying to do with it, just kind of make it rock out. But,
yeah, it's the hardest song to track drum-wise because the beat is so steady.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, fucking clockwork. And
yeah.
That makes it kind of hard to keep up with.
Gotta be solid.
And they pretty much made fun of me for wearing my red bandana to keep the hair out of my eyes, and they like to call me Brett Michaels from Flavor
You're
of Love.
You're the rock of love.
It was nice.
Flavor of Love.
Flavor of Love, actually.
Wrong episode. Rock
yeah.
of
Flavor
rock
of Love!
Yeah, it was Rock of Love.
Yeah, but, this one, like, it was one of the first songs that we started on, and the ending was one of the last parts that we did for
it
the
was,
recording
too.
Process. Mm-hmm. So this one just went through revisements from the very beginning to the bitter end.
Yeah, the end, the Jason screams and the samples were like done basically during mixdown, essentially.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean,
pretty much. I had the idea for the samples while we jammed on it, but I put it off and put it off and put it off, and I was just trying to think of where I was gonna get them, and then I finally got some, and it ended up turning out really well.
And I had always wanted the end to have that scream, but I do not scream like that. Like I just.
Banshee.
I cannot fucking scream like that, and Jason screams like a goddamn banshee.
I didn't even know I could scream like that.
we were just like
fucking do it.
It's pretty much
a hot poker.
His new name I like to call him is Maynard James Yoakum.
Yeah.
that's my MJJ.
Yeah. So this is Come One, Come All.
Listen to it.
Coming in songs.
Coming in songs.
Don't steal that shit.
Just gonna carry away. I feel the power.
Here Come the Waves. Here Come the Waves, Devin.
I think, in my opinion, it's my favorite, just because it's, to me, it's the most theatrical. I know it's the shortest song that we have, I think. Is it?
Yeah,
I think
so.
Yeah.
But every time that I hear the chorus with Jason's foghorn, I picture like a movie scene of disaster.
And Jason said earlier, it was great, he said, it seems like you're surfacing, like you're coming up underwater, you're surfacing, and there's a big-ass boat bearing down on you. You're like, you've been drowning or something, and then you come up, and there's a giant boat just bearing down
on you. And you're just done for anyways.
Yeah, you're fucked. There is no hope, that's for sure. Anybody else want to say something about it?
Well,
definitely you had some hell on this song.
Well, yeah. Originally, the ideas that I had for it, I had like right from the get-go. I wanted something that was kind of more stringish than what came out, rather than those foghorns. But I wanted it to be a little bit more in the vein of what Massive Attack did in, I forget the name of the track, but just these really kind of spooky, like spinning type strings that just move back and forth in pitch and just make you feel real sick when you listen to it almost. And some military samples. And
you had originally brought the string sample.
Yeah, yeah.
And it just didn't function because it was too seasick. Like, the foghorn fixed that problem.
Yeah, it just, you know, the whole pitch swells just didn't really even need to be there. It just made it a bit too queasy, and the song kind of went away from sounding queasy to something that was a bit more,
cheesy.
I don't know. To me, it just sounds more kind of frustrating, which is a sound that I always dig.
And it's still very seasick when you listen to the chorus.
It's like foreboding. It's like something out of a horror movie, and it's like right before the, you know, guitar hits the nasty part. There's like the lead in of that foghorn. Kind of is like.
Yeah, it is.
It's like, you know, when somebody's about to open a door and get stabbed in the face or something. That moment before of waiting, the sweat, the tension.
And it does. I think it totally builds the tension there because it swells between the guitars, like the nasty guitars, and after the guitars going into the drop-off, and it fades down into the drop-off.
It makes me anxious.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah, I mean, especially like when the heavy part first kicks in, you know, which that was, I think the idea that kind of, I think the whole idea actually spawned from a couple of, Devin just came, showed up one day, I was just like, I've got these two chords,
mm-hmm.
and Joby was like desperate to find a way to use them somehow.
Because they were cool chords, but they were in a weird fashion when you brought them, and they were like, they were more like jazzed out and like folkish, like the way you were playing them, but I just heard them a different way, and I heard them with an idea that I'd had in my head for probably 5 years on a song I wanted to write, and the chords you had just fucking spoke to that idea.
Yeah,
you know?
Most of the songs on here, like somebody will come in with a part and it ends up getting changed like 1,000 times.
Yeah,
complete 180.
Once it gets filtered through 5 guys, you know, it sounds completely different than when it started. So that was a really cool thing.
Yeah.
About working with everybody.
And much better when it gets filtered too, because you got 5 people that all have totally different ideas of how to fuck with shit. You know, literally everybody thinks about things differently in us, and you know, that's I guess it could probably kill some people, but I think we flourish upon it. It makes it fun, I think.
Yeah, for sure.
It works a lot better, I think.
Yeah, and then when you're done with a song, you're just, everybody's happy with it.
Yeah,
you know,
they're 12% put in on the song.
Right. 12%.
I think it would be 20%.
Yeah, there's 5
Thanks,
of us.
Captain,
so what do you know?
Sorry, I'm putting my calculator back in my wallet.
I don't know, maybe we should just, one last thing, I don't know, about it.
Well, there's something I gotta say about it. This was the first time we heard Jason scream was on this song.
Mm-hmm.
And we had to track it like 10 times because Shep and I were laughing so fucking hard. Because Jason kept ending it with a Hetfield. And what I mean by that is like when he would say sand in right before the second chorus, it would go... Sanda! Yes! In the first one, Magna! You know? And it just had the Hetfield on the end, so we had to get rid of it. And we were just fucking laughing balls. And we were so blown away by Jason's scream that it was just like... It was crazy. Because we just... We heard Jason do it in the basement once.
Yeah, and it sounded great.
As a joke, really, I think I was trying to sing some 80s song or something like that.
Yeah. You were doing grindcore. We were making fun of grindcore, and you were like, rah, rah, rah. And I was like, holy shit, that's rad. Butt fucking. Yeah, that's all I have to say about it. Anyone else?
Yeah, that was one of those little tidbits, I guess. I guess the kind of the small part, I mean, Joby's the lyrical man, but the whole thing where I guess I could kind of say that I had a little input was where one day I had a dream and it was kind of...
And you're talking about the bridge on the song where the...
Yeah, pretty much where...
The background vocals.
Yeah, I had like this dream where this pretty much wave just engulfed pretty much everything. And the water was pretty much just above like all the buildings and everything and... I thought that was kind of a cool concept, and then how all the animals kind of came together and the humans were against each other.
They all swam to freedom.
But wasn't it like elephants? Everything was like in a glass cage or something like that, and all the animals, like everyone was getting along and shit.
Yeah, all the animals
and
were like, hi!
There's like five humans left, and they're all fucking hate each other, and but somehow animals were thriving.
So I just went into Walmart and was like, hey, Joby, I had this really stupid dream. I didn't tell you about it. And then he made a kick-ass song. I had a cool reference, a couple of references to it, so I thought it was pretty cool.
It fit with the lyrics that were already there, so it was like, bring it on. It fit perfect. So anyway, that is that. This song is called Here Comes the Wave.
You put the button in the potato! Aww.
Fascination Radio was a complete...
Well, we were going to have Dan do it.
But, you know. I don't know.
All right, go for it.
I don't have anything to say about it. I remember this song started off as nothing, and we were down in the basement, and you know, Joby and I don't like to jam around too much because we never have came up with anything good, just jamming around, you know, just playing around and seeing what you come up with. But you know, Shep started playing a beat, and we were just, you know, in between practicing songs, and Devin started playing a little fucking bass, you know, a little, looping bass thing, and you know, it sounded pretty cool, and then I came up with a guitar part on it, and we just kept playing it and over again, and after a while it ended up turning out into a song. So yeah. And we were just amazed by actually jamming turning into a song.
Yeah.
You know, it's never happened before and probably will never happen again.
because jamming, maybe we just should,
sucks.
Well, it does suck. It's a pain in the ass. And maybe we should mention that we write songs in a very kind of strange way. Like everything starts out electronic, basically. Every single one of these songs started as a Fruity Loops file using FL Studio, that was, you know, digital drums, digital guitars, digital bass, keys added usually as cake on top, until just about the point where we got to Fascination Radio. And then it was like, after that point, every song we've written since was like, you know, keys were a forethought as opposed to an afterthought. Because before we knew that Jason was going to join, and when it was just me, Shep, and Devin in the basement, we were just writing whatever the fuck ever.
Yeah.
And we didn't know shit about how to make keyboards sound cool, and we needed Jason to do that. So, but yeah, I mean, all the songs are written generally on Fruity Loops, and then we send files back and forth through email and put in our input, you know, and kind of just ship it back, and eventually it becomes a song.
Yep. Yeah, and this was the antithesis to that.
Yeah, it was completely.
Antithesis.
So it's a bastard child, yeah, in that respect.
More of a butt baby, I would say.
It's a butt baby. The song turned out sounding like, you know, it sounds like a cowboy that's in a spy movie. And actually, oh, I forgot, the original lyrics to the chorus was, we were just ripping off the Muppet Show. You know, I had this idea of, meet the Muppets, you know, it's time to light the lights, you know, and if you listen to those lyrics and you listen to the Muppet Show theme, it's obviously a ripoff, but hopefully...
Well, actually, wasn't the Muppet Show actually start the show?
Yeah,
the,
well,
the line state be
show,
totally ripped
they
off
light
the
lights. The original, I think the original line was, it's time to meet the Muppets, it's time to start the show, it's time to break the frog.
Break the frog.
Of his fascination with the hog. And so I like wrote that down once, and Joby was like, he was supposed to put real lyrics over it, but he decided to keep like 90% of it. We were like, I don't think I'll just change frog and hog to flip and flop.
To the radio. And
but, yeah,
it's good enough, fuck it, move on.
There's a radio.
Which is kind of how I write songs. It's good enough, fuck it, move on.
Go.
Yeah.
Next.
So it worked out, and we were all really surprised because the song just got weirder and weirder the more we worked on it.
And it continued to do so, again, right into mixdown, because... there's a stretch on one of Dan's vocals where we made it go digital. It's just a weird radio, and it's really long and hangs. And then Dan and I tried for about 2 hours to become Foley artists and make background sounds.
Oh yeah,
for the shout.
We had the sweet idea during everybody's shouting during that bridge part. And we started, you know, I grabbed a broom and we were like knocking over stuff. I was trying to get this background noise, knocking over a broom and pushing around a desk chair and you know, scratching on a acoustic with a butter knife and things. And it wasn't working out so good, so we took it out into the living room, which is right by Capitol. And this one take we did of it was sounding so great because a semi came by right when we were doing it, and the mic picked up this, you know, groundswell of the semi going by, and it was like, and it was nasty, but we didn't do the broom part in time. We didn't get the broom on the wall. We were trying to get a marching sound, And so, you know, we ended up scrapping that, but it was really fun to do.
Yeah, it was.
It was a fun afternoon.
Yeah, it was too, man. It was a whole afternoon.
Fortunately, I spent a year in hiding recording an ass load of movie samples, so I was just like, don't worry, dude, I've got like 50 train samples. I got one I can
Yeah,
throw
we,
on
we did it for 3 hours, and Jason comes over in the first fucking sample, and he didn't go through the samples. He's just like, oh, there's a sample of this train. Go to that one. Yeah, that one. Okay, yep, that's the one. You know, like,
yeah.
5 seconds he had the sample picked out, and it was just perfect, because basically we just wanted it to not sound like it was 4 or 5 dudes, whatever, in a room shouting. And it sounded like 4 dudes shouting in a bedroom, and we didn't kind of want it to sound like that. Yeah. What were we shouting about? That's the question.
Ow!
It seemed like some of this song, in a way, kind of had. We always would reference back when we were kind of writing a song about that TV on the Radio song.
Yeah, yeah, it was. Wolf Like Me.
Yeah, kind of has that punk rock kind of feel to it, where it's just.
But actually, the sample that we made for the bridge ended up turning into that sound at the end.
Oh, yeah, there was a paper bag being crumpled up.
Well, that was everything. That was a chair and everything, and a paper bag being crumpled in front of the mic. And basically, we distorted the shit out of it, and then we kept stretching it and stretching it and stretching it till it turned into that kind of thing. And then there's a free VST plugin called the DFX Skitter that you can download online. And it just basically is kind of like a tremolo effect, would you say, Jason? Sort of?
Yeah, but it's much more quicker.
It's like a pulse generator.
It stutters a lot more. There's an official name for it. I think it's a gator or something like that. One of the things that I really like about this song in particular is it just seems to kind of... Everyone, like, seems to have a different idea of what the meaning is behind it. For me, somehow it reminds me of... This one time I was sitting in my driveway, which my driveway is like a mile long, so I'm out in the woods, and I find this hidden radio station that I could never find again, and it was playing this absolutely fucking terrible punk song, but I just totally fell in love with it. For some reason, this song reminds me of that. I always wanted to write a song that kind of had that sort of feel to me, and I was I'm glad that I was able to... to finally get that out. And the song was like, the recording was so terrible, it was just like, the vocals were just like... Couldn't understand a goddamn thing he was saying.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah, so, enough. Fascination Radio is the name of this song.
Check it out.
Check it out. Friends online, it's alright.
It's called World Explodes.
Good.
Ta-da.
This is my favorite mix of the record, like the way it sounds, especially coming off of Fascination Radio, is a really kind of wacky song as opposed to some of the other songs on this little EP. So this one's kind of just like really laid back at the beginning, and it's like the perfect foil to Fascination Radio, I think. And just the mix is really, really good. So yeah, I have
the clap tracks.
The clap tracks.
We had this idea where the lyric is, we'll clap our hands and stomp the floor. And so Shep was going to, you know, double up the snare there because it used to not be like that.
Yep.
And so we came in one day and Joey was like, oh yeah, I got it, man. I got all the claps. We came in and he had these powder puff claps. They were fine. Sweet. No, he loved them. And he ate
them. Really so he's always slapping aftershave on their face.
Yeah. And it was a bad way. Like, we need to beef those claps up. And so he was, you know, had some... He was dipping some chaw and was packing his chaw can.
Chaw fuels.
Yeah, wait, do the clap.
Chaw fuels, Shep and I.
So he's packing
in our rock. So here is the sound of the Longhorn can. Well, actually, this is Timberwolf, so it's going to have to...
Different
it's,
timber.
It's not the same as the Longhorn, but here you go.
Yeah. And then it sounded perfect. And he's doing that like, oh, we got to add that on there. And so he added it on there and... And now the claps sound claptastic.
Because of a can of chew. Somehow, magically.
We all got the clap.
Unfortunately.
From Shep. He's like, I'm sorry.
Because he said he was tested. And he lied.
I do think that it is one of the biggest choruses. That's what I like about the song in general is... The chorus is just huge.
It's awesome.
Like,
my favorite.
It's my favorite one to play.
Yeah.
I really get into it when I'm playing it.
Yeah.
The thing I really enjoy about it is we're always kind of against like the whole solo thing. And
We had
Dan was just like, yeah, I just kind of came up with this tapping part. It's kind of stupid. If you guys don't like it, whatever, it's stupid. He fucking plays it and it fucking makes our face melt up.
Yeah, he just shredded
me. Soaring Eagle Solos.
Yeah, Soaring Eagle Solos is what we like to call
it. It was between the
solos.
Cheesiness of that tapping part and this other part that was super boring. And so we picked the lesser of two evils because the other part was just so boring. It was like... And it was like, bore yourself to death with it. And so we left that tapping part on there and then just, you know, juiced it up.
Juiced it.
You know.
It always reminds me of, that whole scene always reminds me of, well, I said represents the scene, but the whole thing part just reminds me of the whole November Rain video, Slash in the Canyon, fucking soul. And he's just out in the church and Axl just rocking it out with him, that the whole part. The ending just is like, ends like November Rain.
It's
in my
fucking
book.
Axl Rose and Shannon Hoon on a roof in a fucking helicopter. And
he's down in the grave and he's going like this with his hands. And he's going, yeah. And he's naked and his elbows are covering up his testicles.
He always looks like the incredible. He always looks like the Incredible Hulk.
Yeah.
One thing I could never really understand about those types of solos when Slash would go out on into the Grand Canyon is like, he makes the effort to go all the way out there, but he makes no effort to bring a fucking amp with him.
Nobody has any cords in videos. Like, what are these guys plugged into?
Yeah.
I don't even see their wireless.
He's slashed them. Is there?
He's
slashed. You know, so I'm just imagining walking through
the
woods one day.
He plays the VW now, dude.
I'm just imagining walking through the woods one day, and just like seeing somebody like with an electric guitar, trying to do a solo, but not being plugged into anything, so you can't even hear it until you're like 3 feet away from him. It's up to you.
Just little spankies.
And then just be like, what are you doing, man?
Spankies.
Little spankies.
Pink, pink, pink.
There were two disasters during the recording of this EP. And one of them being that my dumbass completely deleted every single one of Dan's guitars on this song. So Dan had to re-record the guitars twice.
He told me about it. I thought he had like did it on purpose. So like he just thought that part really sucked. And he was like, oh, you're going to have to redo that. And like, maybe try to come up with something different this time, maybe. Just since it's gone.
Might as well try something different. Might as well play something different, though.
Right,
yep.
Close them up.
Yeah, that is World Explodes. Yeah. This is World Explodes.
There used to be some alternate lyrics. What? This song too.
Oh yeah.
Tonight.
Yeah.
My yes. cock explodes.
Tonight I feel my cock explode in Shep's moist ass. he loves my load. So like just put that to the chorus if you wanna enjoy yourself. So
I'm always at the dick end of the gay jokes. So it's alright, I'm used to it.
World explodes.
This song is The Answer, and it's just that sweet. it's so cool to me. It's so straightforward and to the point, and all the parts are super simple, but at the same time, it's just got that catch that I like to hear in songs.
Yeah, and I think the whole idea of it was, as far as coming up with the guitar parts for it, was just coming up with the simplest, fruitiest parts that we could think of and playing it over it, and then coming up with an even more for your part, for a different part.
Tell us what you really think.
the dumbest part of it, and we're like, "Oh yeah, that's great. That's horrible."
Yeah, it was like everything that
you said that
everything that we hated, like playing, sounded perfect on the song.
Yeah,
like,
and so we're easier to try to not try harder, but to try lesser.
To try lesser.
Yeah,
and it works when you try lesser.
This song is such a it's kind of a stab in my ego though, because if somebody comes up to me and says, "Man, you know your keyboard parts are great, but they're the absolute bestest in the answer," and I'm like, "Well, that's the one track that I didn't write a goddamn thing about, so thank you very much."
It's just the dumbest keyboard part ever. Just the
It was pre. Yeah.
Jason's part was predetermined.
That yeah.
It is my fucking fault.
It's pre Jokums.
That part is pre PJ, not BC. It's PJ. I really dig the sample on the bridge. I think it's pretty cool, and if you can understand what it says, it goes with the song. That's all I got to say about it.
I personally like Shep's drum part because I'm a big Dredge fan, and Dino is one of the sweetest drummers ever, and it just reminds me of that.
Yeah, we're gonna turn his set sideways when we
play. Yeah, I really like the choruses. They're just a lot different than what we've done. It's not so much that big ride out rock chorus. It's kind of a little bit more sporadic,
choppy,
a little more choppier.
I love your beat on the chorus of this song. It is like one of my favorite beats. Yeah, because when we were writing in the basement, it was just like Shep just fucking whipped it out and was awesome.
Yeah. Oh yeah,
hit the ground. I left myself open for that.
It's 3 inches from the ground. No, but I mean, when I was writing,
awesome.
It was. I mean, I was telling Joby the other day. I was like, yeah, I think this is like my most like pop punk verses ever, and I don't think I'll probably ever write the dun dun ka dun dun ka dun dun ka ever again. Because I probably will. Like on the next 10 songs I write, it'll be all dun dun ka dun dun ka. But it works. It works with the verses. It gives it that good flow that it needs. You know.
This song, however, during recording was the other disaster.
Oh, my God.
Like, actually, just, it was last night. It was probably, what, 4 o'clock in the morning
at
or
this,
something
at
like
this
that?
At this point, it was probably around, like, yeah, between 4 and 5 a.m.
And we had just finished recording the chorus vocals, and I saved the track, and we were going to find the sample to use on the bridge, and, closed it down and found the sample we wanted to use. Opened the multi-track session back up, and the vocals were completely off. Everything was off. Everything had time shifted and opened different tracks for some reason. Or if the thing was just pissed because we'd been on it for like
the vocals totally took a
18
leap.
Hours.
We recorded this whole CD.
Quantum leap.
Ziggy. We had to bang on it. And Al was pissed off. Oh, you got it right.
Sure. So, yeah.
Hope you like
Here's it. The answer.
Yeah.
disappoint you. I never heard you talk about that. I'll disappoint you.
We're all the same. We're gone from this. We're all the falling back in.
Keep going, man.
That's where the roof ends. No. I can't. I can't just keep making it up.
Although we go to the end of the road, though I can't let go. It's unnatural.
Wow.
Good. You should come out and see me do karaoke one night. I fucking tear that shit.
That's awesome. So that's it. That's the whole EP. This is the whole podcast.
Basically, yeah, we felt really stupid doing it, but
yeah,
it was a good time.
If it's stupid, then you're on the same page with us.
But
if it's not, then cool, and we're glad you liked it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we got one leap over the mound here, so this is done pretty much, and we're going to start writing new stuff and start playing live shows, and hopefully people
soon.
Like it, and we like it, so...
Yeah, I enjoy it.
It gives you a chance to get out of the house.
Yeah. I think it's a big, big monster, and I like big monsters.
Yeah, every song's like a bear paw that goes, "Rawr!" Hits you in the face.
I like little monsters.
I like my dog.
Maurice. This is an apple juice.
Who pissed in my apple juice?
This movie's awesome.
Man, I haven't seen that.
Totally
forgot about that part.
That was Buzz from Home Alone. That
yeah, it was.
He's the bully. He was always the bully. He was probably in a McDonald's commercial, too.
He was, actually, I think.
He was.
But, I don't know. I guess in closing, hopefully you like it, and I hope we didn't waste too much people's time, and listen to the music, and tell people if you think you like it, and if they like it, that's cool.
Too. Yeah, tell anyone to download it. If you get a CD... from a show, and when we hopefully start playing in the future, and if you listen to this post tense, past tense, whatever, you get a CD, burn it. Burn it for your friends, give it away, do whatever. You know, we don't want anything for it. We just want you to listen to it.
Yep.
Yeah, it's free. You can't complain.